org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with some music by David Arnett Cherry at davidarnettcherry.com.
Co-sponsor of Stephen Marley, Babylon by Bus Tour on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater in Portland. The second son of Bob and Rita Marley, eight-time Grammy-winning musician and producer Stephen Marley, will perform in Portland with DJ Sasha Pena, who will be opening the show. Again, that's Stephen Marley, Babylon by Bus Tour on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater, 8 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBU, and coming up next is Art Focus. Joseph Galavan interviews Kristen Kennedy and Roya Amir Soleimani of the Portland Institute of Contemporary Art about the Time-Based Art Festival of 2019. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Clinton Street Theater, open since 1915, featuring independent films, parties, and community events. Located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. Full event schedule, tickets, showtimes, and more information online at cstpdx.com. And now, Art Focus.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol. Silver stream, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Galavan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Roya Amir Soleimani and Kristen Kennedy from PICA, and they're here to talk about TBA 19. Thanks for coming back to KBOO.
Thanks for having us, Joseph.
Thank you.
TBA 19, it runs from September the 5th to the 15th. Mm-hmm. Your opening act, opening night, was the opening act on the very first TBA. And just tell us about that act.
Sure. So I'm Kristen Kennedy. I'm one of three artistic directors at PICA, which includes Roya Amir Soleimani and Aaron Boberg Doughton. And we co-curate the TBA festival together, as well as other things during the year. What you're referring to is actually a really good place to start, because in 2003, the opening act was Aiko and Koma, who are a collaborative duo, sort of master artists of their form that originates in Buto but goes into experimental performance art and dance. And they performed a really significant free opening night performance on September 11th, 2003, in Jameson Square Park in the fountain. At Jameson Square Park, the trees were just saplings at that mm-hmm. moment, and the park hadn't even really officially opened. And when the artists saw the fountain, they decided to move into the water. Originally, they were going to be moving around the ground. And so very quickly, we moved this stage before anyone showed up into the, like, you know, undulating mm-hmm. water there. And at the time, the festival was an extremely new format in the United States. It was the only festival of its kind in North America. Now there's many, many contemporary art festivals and dance festivals that happen here. And we didn't really know who would show up. It's was definitely, if we build it, they will come kind of situation. And we looked up, and it was like this beautiful, blustery night, and Aiko and Koma are dancing in the water, and there's hundreds of people standing around the square. And I think that Christy, who founded the festival, and Pica, had always imagined the festival as a way to bring art, ideas, audiences, art, and artists together, and in a civic kind of way that used a lot of different venues across town, brought different artists of different generations together. And so we've kept that spirit alive through many years of Pica. We're in our 17th annual festival this year. We didn't know it would even last that long at that particular moment. So Aiko now is performing as a solo artist. They're still very vital and vibrant. They've been having kind of a resurgence of their work, have recently performed at the Met, have been performing all over the country. And we have a really special engagement with them. They are our cover person this year. So if you pick up a catalog at Pica's headquarters at 15 Northeast Hancock or go online, you'll see Aiko's picture all throughout our marketing. They're engaged in three different performances. Opening night, they will be performing for free at PNCA. We'll open up an exhibition of their prints and video work.
Which space will it be?
At PNCA, at the 511 gallery at PNCA.
Where in the building?
At the 511 gallery at PNCA. It's right inside.
Which one's that?
It's right inside the front door. As you walk down the hallway, Aiko will be moving through the space there. And then Aiko is also performing several other times during the festival. But that opening night is really kind of a celebration of that original intent of bringing the community together. It happens on September 5th, which is First Thursday. We're encouraging people to go out and support the galleries and walk around. C3 Initiative, which is another nonprofit, will be opening a new space on the park blocks, as will Adams and Ullman, a commercial gallery, will be opening a new space right next to PNCA. So they have an artist, Chinupa Hanaska Luger, who will be performing on the park blocks at 5 p.m. Then Aiko performs at PNCA right after that and the opening of the exhibition. And then we invite everyone to kind of come over the bridge to Pica and attend our opening night barbecue. We used to have this more patron-focused opening night dinner that went into a free event. And this year, we've been in the building a couple of years. Roya and Aaron and I really felt like this is our home and we wanted to invite people over to a barbecue. So the tickets are now a sliding scale from $5 to whatever people want to donate. They can sponsor artist tickets so that artists don't have to pay for dinner if they want to come. And everyone is invited. There's no ticket admission to come that night, but if you want food, it's a sliding scale. And then later on in the evening, a local artist named Holland Andrews, or otherwise known as Like a Villain, will be releasing their new album. They're an incredible vocalist. It's very difficult to describe, but if I were to talk in contemporary art lingo, it's somewhere between Diamanda Galas and Meredith Monk, with their own kind of vocalization styling that goes from very gentle and beautiful to extremely intense and visceral, with electronic kind of backup. After Holland performs...
Has Holland done TBA before?
Yes, Holland's been involved with TBA several times and was a resident artist as part of our Creative Exchange Lab. And one of the things that's really sentimental about Holland performing is that they kind of came up through the community and through Pica and are really successful international touring artists now. They're releasing their new album and then they'll be moving out of the city. And so it's a celebration of their work and also kind of a farewell and good luck party. And the festival really connects artists from all over the world. So Holland will still remain in the family. Afterwards, there might be new to some people and familiar to others, a regional DJ collective called Noche Libre, which is a Latinx DJ collective. They'll also be spinning music and performing until the wee hours. So the opening night on February 5th is really a day to fully immerse yourself in the city, in all of the art of the festival, and kind of get a taste of what the rest of the week will become.
So as the 10 days sort of rolls on, you know, people who don't have much time are going to be looking for who are the bigger acts or the more, you know, the more sort of different or outstanding acts.
Hi, I'm Roya Amir Soleimani, and I'm one of the artistic directors and curators at PICA as well. So one of the first performances of the first weekend, starting Friday, September 6th, is Mia Habib, who is a choreographer based in Oslo, Norway. Mia has worked all over the world, iterating different versions of a piece called All, a Physical Poem of Protest, which is an exploration of bringing together en masse 50, 60, sometimes 75 or 100 people from the community together to perform a large-scale outdoor as well as indoor version of a performance that considers what it means for people to come together in protest or in demonstration or in a public moment and space. So there are two versions of this performance. The first one, Friday, September 6th at 6:30, is 1 hour long. It's free and it's in Director Park. So if you know about it, you could come to it, but anyone who encounters it becomes an audience member. And over 50 local community members, both artists and people who might not identify as artists, will be performing.
These are people who practice for this. You can't just show up and join in.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are workshops and rehearsals. We are close to having filled all of the spots for this, but if anyone listening has an interest, they can email performers@pica.org, and we may still have a few spots left. So
is this a clothing optional piece?
So the indoor version of the performance, which is the second night, Saturday, September 7th, actually the second day, I should say, is a durational performance of 3 hours. It runs from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon, and that will be clothing optional for the performers. So some performers may opt to be in the nude. Others won't be. And that is 3 hours, so people could come and go at any time between 3:30 and 6:30. That'll be inside PICA's warehouse. So two very different experiences of the same choreography.
Does it have music?
No, actually, the sound is really focused on that. It's the amplification of the sound of bodies moving in repetition constantly without stopping. So there is a score, a loose choreographic score to the piece, but performers can interpret it based on their own bodies and abilities and comfort levels, all of those things. But if you imagine that, for example, the indoor performance being 3 hours, it never stops. So it will be a constant motion and constant movement, and audience will be witnessing it from around in the round.
So this is happened before in
other cities. It's happened in many places in Europe, in the Middle East, and in New York most recently. This will be only the second U.S. edition. So that's Mia Habib. And then another artist that we're excited about is Laura Ortman, who is a music and performance and visual artist based in Brooklyn. Laura is an indigenous artist. She's White Mountain Apache, and she is was featured in the Whitney Biennial, along with a local artist, Portland-based artist Marcus Fisher. They're actually going to be performing together. So Laura, it will be here from New York, performing two nights at PSU Lincoln Hall, Friday, September 6th and Saturday, September 7th at 8:30 p.m. Marcus will be accompanying her both nights. And then we also have another artist coming in just for the Saturday performance, who's a renowned experimental sound and music artist who's also indigenous, Raven Chacon, who is part of an indigenous contemporary art collective that some people might know the name of, Post Commodity. So Laura will perform with Marcus and Raven, and she works in all kinds of instrumentation, particularly known for experimental violin, but she'll perform with a range of instruments and musical styles and manipulation of sound.
Is that a like three people on a stage kind of show?
It is, yeah. But sonically, it will be really dynamic, and there will be so much variety and range. And I think that even just visually or in terms of watching a performance, it will be much more than just listening to music.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Roya Amir Soleimani and Kristen Kennedy. They're here from PICA to talk about TBA 19. So, Kristen, the structure's changed a bit. Tell us what's different this year.
Sure. So over the years, we've tried lots of different things in the festival, and those who've attended multiple festivals have definitely been exhausted by the end of it. And I think this festival, you'll find, is a little more humane, and we've tried something different. We've really bookended the festival both weekends, like this Thursday to Sunday kind of range, with most of the activity. And then we're a little quieter midweek, so you could go home, have dinner with your family, or attend a lot of the partner programs, which are more exhibitions or things that you can really look at with your eyes and not your whole body and whole evening. Mm-hmm. And we're excited about it, and we're hoping audiences will respond as well. A lot of our visiting public, curators, audiences, artists, come in from around the world over the weekends, and so it'll be a really active time to engage with the festival. We also have been really teasing out the food program over the years, for the last couple of years, Spencer Burns Sears, who's the exhibitions director at PICA, has been curating the food and really bringing it into the Institute program and trying to contextualize food practice and eating and socialization and who's making the food an art, bringing it into an art context.
Well, this is the food available in the PICA building.
Right. So to be clear, PICA is sort of an all-day festival. There, in the morning, you can attend workshops. Mid-afternoon, there are institute talks where the artists and audiences come together and really talk about deeply about the ideas of the festival. But it's kind of a non-academic setting. People are really intimate, and it's been one of the favorite things people actually attend during the festival. Those will all happen at PICA this year, out on our patio. And then we go into performances all day. And at night, we have this late night kind of club vibe. And during that late night club night time and during the Institute, we have kind of a little cafe. And that has taken many forms over the years. Sometimes it's a food cart. Sometimes it's a person like a food curator who's really doing individual food, or we're working with a local restaurant. This year, Spencer is building out a little thing he's calling the corner store and really thinking about art and hospitality, which is something at PICA we really do consider because we're all bodies in space, like attending these events together, right? And it's a live experience. So what do you need to live? You know, food, water, and you need art too, right? So all of those things come together at the corner store. It's a kind of bodega style setting where
you're going to sell chips and jewel pops.
Chips and jewel pops and probably a toothbrush, because if you're at the festival all week, you might need one. But also really delicious items made by our food partners that are doing really interesting food in town. Like we've worked with Miss Tacones before, which is a really fantastic like vegan taco art project, and other vendors, and this year expect the same. But you'll be able to come to an institute and really like grab a good meal while you're there, or just a seltzer, and hang out and talk. And at night we'll have the bar and plenty of NA drinks and food for people to hang out all night with us.
When you go looking for food, people, you know, for art, you look all over the world, but food, where do you look? Just
I think there's,
what you see,
I mean,
in the corner?
I think that for Portland, we have this incredible food scene where a lot of highly individualistic people strike out on their own. And what we're really interested is in people, in artists and food purveyors and cooks and amateurs who really go into their culture, whatever that may be, punk late night light sandwiches, or really family food from Fiji, you know, that's really from their personal home style cooking. And we have this international festival that has all of this variance, and we want the food to reflect those things as well. So while a lot of the purveyors are local purveyors, they're really reaching into their cultural history or the local ecosystem to create new things with food.
Speaking of late night, maybe we can talk about a couple of the highlights from our late night program and then round it out with a couple of the other main stage performances. Sure, yeah. Does that sound good? Okay. So for late night, we have... We talked already about opening night. There are going to be 6 late night shows, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays throughout the festival. So Saturday night, the 7th, is going to be a really special event, a drag ball. Some people might remember Critical Mascara, which for several years was a huge drag ball and kind of performance night that was really important to kind of queer community gathering at TBA. And the PDX ball group, which Brandon Harrison or Hydrangea Strangea, as you might know them, is kind of helping to lead and curate. That night will be back to school themed, and it will be a night of performances, but also really true to kind of some of drag ball history, a competition. And so people can actually come, sign up, enter to participate, and it will be competitive, but also just a really fun and beautiful night. And we expect a lot of people that evening, and the talent here for Kiki Balls and kind of other performance contexts out of the queer trans community and kind of performance history is so vibrant, and it's really important to us that we continue making space for that, and it's one of the highlights of the late night program. We also have a night with Miles DeBastian, who's part of a collective called Sima Space. Miles is a deaf musician and advocate for the deaf community. He is going to be performing a musical performance, but also have all of these kind of light and vibrational sorts of installations set up that enhance the experience of music and sound for deaf and hard of hearing audiences. And Miles has collaborators helping to build and engineer those things. So there will be a lot of visual and other kinds of low frequency sound experiences that evening, and a really you know, kind of unique experience of what sound can be. Another highlight will be Judy, which was our biggest night last year. We had over 800 people attend a night that really celebrates queer women and femme community and kind of the history of the spaces that once were here for that for those kinds of gatherings and are no longer. And so this is a group that puts on a monthly night called Judy or Judy on Duty. And this is their kind of big, kind of scaled up version with some great DJs and a really fun, sweaty dance party.
Where does Judy normally happen?
Judy normally happens at the Spare Room, which is a pretty small venue compared to Pica's huge warehouse. So it's really fun to, you know, allow them to kind of expand.
So if they want to expand, what do they do? They just,
It helps that 800 people come out, and you don't need to do too much beyond that.
There are all of these you know, small queer parties that happen in spaces, and Judy really celebrates the history of like lesbian women, femme, trans, and non-binary people coming together and their allies and friends. So it's a really, like, on TBA, I think maybe it like opens up to people to reveal a sort of thing that goes on more among smaller communities, but they had some kind of like big physical props that people were dancing on and other things. This year, I think it's going to be more space for people to really commune and hang out. TBA is also a place where every night At the late night space, you really see lots of different kinds of communities come together that might be siloed during the year. And it's a place to find your community if you're new to Portland, which so many people are, or even if you're old to Portland, like I am. I've been here for 25 years, and to walk into a room of 800 people dancing just felt like, wow, this town does still have some soul left in it. As condos go up all around us, there's still some radical underpinnings. So if you come to the late night, you're gonna, on a night where there's like a film or a night where there's a dance party, you're really going to be welcomed into a community.
Mm-hmm. Is there a visual arts element this year? Is it like a gallery show?
So what you're referring to is that over many years, I would make like sometimes 9, sometimes 20 different singular statements or installations by artists. And over the years, I've really pushed into more of a temporal space, presenting film or performance art on the festival, and have pushed those formal exhibitions into the year. Because we have a space now, we have an annual exhibition program that we do all year long. So you're not really going to see myself as a visual art curator making exhibitions or installations. I really co-curate the festival with Roya and Aaron, and all of us work across different forms all year. But there are some exhibitions to attend, like we did make one this year alongside Joseph Scheer from the Electronic Arts Institute in Alfred, New York, with Eiko Atake, that's happening at PNCA, with Mac McFarlane. There's an amazing exhibition called Auto Poets that's happening at Reed that opens in August, but will run through the festival and has some performative elements that happen with an artist named Roland Damon Wu. Roland Darwin Wu. Should I say that whole part over?
You edit it.
I'll edit that.
We have an exhibition that is curated by Lisa Dent and Stephanie Snyder at Reed College called The Auto Poets. And as part of that, there is a night of performance by Roland Darwin Wu, which happens at a Cambodian restaurant out on 82nd. It's limited attendance. You have to reserve your tickets. It's free. But even the other visual artists, curators in town are using PICA and TBA as a way to bring out performance and these kind of hybrid forms. And then if you really need like a juicy visual art moment where you look at something, you know, come see us in the summer, come see us in the fall when we present major exhibitions.
So just in the last couple of minutes, Roya, what would you like to round up with?
Yeah. So I think we want to finish off with just a couple of quick highlights. Some listeners might remember one of several performances that we have presented by Miguel Gutierrez, a renowned New York-based choreographer who has presented both solo and collaborative pieces at TBA in the past. Miguel has made a new piece with an all-queer Latinx cast. And Miguel isn't necessarily known for exploring identity or his Latinx queer identity in his work specifically. But with this piece, he's really thinking about that in relationship to making experimental or abstract dance. But also, this piece is very irreverent. It's very immodest. There's a lot of humor to it, a lot of pop cultural references, but also references to feminist and queer literature and theory and politics. There is nudity, so a lot of it, pretty much the whole thing. So be ready for that if you're coming.
What's it called?
It's called This Bridge Called My Ass, and which is a reference to This Bridge Called My Back, which was a really important, significant feminist, queer feminist text by Indigenous and Latinx women, published in 1981. And so that's it's a reference to that text being influential to Miguel and his own thinking, political thinking. But this is happening September 7th, Saturday at 8:30 p.m. and also twice on Sunday, September 8th, a matinee at 4 and a nighttime show at 8:30. And this is in the PICA Annex, which is our black box theater space in the back of our building at 15 Northeast Hancock, which is a great venue for all kinds of different projects.
So TBA 19 is going to run from September the 5th to the 15th?
Yep. And you can, PICA members get 20% off all passes and tickets, which you can sign up for online if you're not already a member. And you can also volunteer to earn free tickets and passes. And it's just a great way to be involved and get to know the artists and the staff and the festival and be part of it all. And you can email volunteer@pica.org and that will go to Ella Ray, our volunteer coordinator, who would be happy to tell folks more about those opportunities. And there are orientations for volunteering coming up in August, later this month.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Roya Amir Soleimani and Kristen Kennedy from PICA. Thanks very much for coming back to KBOO.
Thanks so much, Joseph.
Thanks for having us.
Andy Wallo looks a scream. Hang him on my wall, Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unity, a night of feminist Latinx BDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog for Lunch in Portland. Unity features artists Maria Advertencia Lirica from Oaxaca, Valentina Peralta from Chile, Portland's Kayla J, and DJ La Pausi. This event is also sponsored by Colectivo Ruda and Cup Hub Creative. Again, la mula no era arisca, pero la hicieron. That's Unity, a night of feminist Latinx BDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog Fair Lounge, 830 E. Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Cleaners at Ace Hotel in Portland. Bonds Over Borders is a benefit for Innovation Law Lab, a Portland-based organization that works to increase legal access for immigrants at detention centers, both locally and around the country. There will be live stand-up sets from Adam Passy and Dan Weber and live music by Pedro Queriega. Again, that's Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Cleaners at Ace Hotel, 403 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland.